This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, head over to bigheadsmedia.com.
Hi there, folks. Welcome to the Gilmore, the Gil Marrier. It's a Gilmore Girls podcast brought to you by TV Tuners. I'm your host, Swanson. With me, as always, is my co-host and my cool friend, Todd, Stairmaster.
I like talking dogs.
Don't we all? It's like, that's not what dogs do. And then they do it.
Swanson. Is it okay if a dog says the N-word?
I guess I would question where the dog learned that.
I mean, we're basically putting them in chains.
Expand on that?
Yeah, Todd, expand on that for me.
I mean, specifically in the case of a talking dog, Stoy. Not just regular dogs. I mean, only talking dogs, since they have the capacity for abstract thought.
I think I'd give like a talking dog a pass because I don't know if a talking dog has wrestled with the concept of institutional sort of racism throughout American history or anything like that.
Okay, but what if it was a talking police dog?
No, absolutely not. Not allowed.
Okay, see you later. I'm gonna go eat some plastic bags.
Yeah, the classic Todd behavior. And with us, as always, of course, is our other co-host and annoying relative who's sleeping on my couch.
Oh.
Kioran.
You're gonna make me talk to these towering behemoths of people?
This gigantic woman? You want me to talk? You want me to act like this is a normal woman?
This 5'8" beast?
Is she even 5'8"?
No,
that's the official height of Lorelai Gilmore.
Wait, did you look that up?
I googled it on the Google, and that's what it said on Google.
So it's not even that tall.
Kia's most recent Google searches: Lorelai Gilmore height, Lorelai Gilmore feet size.
Like, that's like...
Just, not feet size, just feet.
Is that even that much taller than the average woman?
Like, a couple inches, I think?
Okay. A little bit,
so
yeah.
It'd be like seeing a guy who's 6 foot and being like, holy shit! Can you believe
you want me
that
to talk
guy?
To him?
You want me to talk to that guy? He's pretty much... He's like Shaquille O'Neal!
That's the reaction I usually get from people when they see me.
That's true. That's what whenever I see Stairmaster sort of lumbering around.
Yeah, it's like that scene in It Follows.
Yes.
The jump scare.
Exactly.
Imagine Stairmaster moving slightly faster, just the amount of startling that would cause.
Like what, I'm moving like 3 miles per hour around.
And then, like, suddenly you move 4 miles per hour, and it's just, like, panic.
Yeah. That would be mass hysteria. Anyway, welcome to another edition of our Gilmore Girls sub-podcast. Brought to you, of course, by the fine people over at Buy Me a Coffee. By which I mean Gio, who bought us some coffees to watch Gilmore Girls. Wow. And that's what we're doing.
To us. Gio, you got a lot to answer for.
And it's true. And listen, you can buy coffees for pretty much anything if that's like a thing that you think like, whoa, them talking about Gilmore Girls is cool and all, but what if I had them talk about, I don't know,
Miami
Space
Blues.
Jam, A New Legacy.
Oh.
Or Berserk.
Oh.
Well, you could do that by going over to buymeacoffee.com/TV Tuners. Although, don't buy either of those two things, because someone already bought us coffees for those. We'll get to those eventually. But for now, we're doing Gilmore stuff.
For the foreseeable future.
Of which is, like, the next 3 weeks, probably. And then somehow we'll do even worse things.
Unspeakable things.
Yes. Anyway, as always, of course, if you have any quips, comments, questions, foresights, otherwise, well, you could send them to us and we could read them aloud on the podcast.
What?
Yeah. You send those bad boys over to our email address, tvtunerspodcast@gmail.com, and we'll read them aloud. What's that email, Kiorain?
Oh, shoot, I'm supposed to know? It's like televisionboys@AOL.com?
That's right. Yeah, you can be like Gio, who sent us this email. Fuck is the title of this email.
Ooh!
Y'all ever think a couple homicide detectives were investigating a crime scene and, like, there was an album by the Smiths that was just sitting there, like, like a clue, and one of them said, "You ever listen to the Smiths, Hernandez?" And Hernandez was like, "I'm more of a The Cure kind of guy myself, Captain." And the captain was like, "Hernandez, you son of a bitch." But in a friendly locker room classic Hernandez kind of way.
Wait, so, like, The Cure is, like, the key to unraveling the mystery? Is that what he's implying?
I think it's just that he prefers The Cure to the Smiths, which is a, first off, correct take.
Well, I have know nothing about punk. Sorry.
So this is a question that was asked of us, if this has ever occurred to us, if we've ever thought about this. And my personal answer to that question is no, but
no.
Maybe you guys have?
No. Yeah. Absolutely not. Nuh-uh.
It's not. Well, Keo, actually, the real question isn't that have we thought that this happened? It's more like, has this happened? But it's more like, do you think this, have you thought if this situation ever occurred? And not only have I never thought this situation occurred, I can guarantee it probably hasn't, because I don't think many captains are investigating crime scenes.
Maybe he means like the investigation team's captain.
Oh, okay. That tracks, yeah.
I don't know what a captain is. I'm not going to find out.
I am willing to believe that someone wouldn't be investigating a crime scene and there would be an album by the Smiths around. That just makes sense. But I don't know if this exact exchange ever took place, you know?
Okay, do you think anyone's ever been impaled by a Smiths vinyl?
No, it's just incidentally there, Stair.
I'm asking, like, do you think that'd
be the murder weapon, and that's never happened.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think it's been a murder weapon, because they're not, like, they're not making really long albums that are like two disc sets that you can just sort of bludgeon someone with.
I don't think it's like a destructo disc. It goes right through you. That's like a saw or something.
I don't think anyone's got the power level for that yet.
Well, maybe like they got the record player and it's spinning and they hold the person's neck up to it and it's like...
Listen, no one who's listening to like 80s new wave has that kind of power level.
No one who's ever listened to 80s new wave is going to commit a heinous murder.
Well, I don't know about all that, but they're not going to like be able to throw a disc like that. Come on, that's not.
Is the disc a clue or not? Are they quipping about an important piece of evidence, or is it?
I think it's just like character building.
I don't know. If you're in a crime scene and you're investigating stuff and there's just an album by the Smiths there, wouldn't you be like, I'm going to look into this? Well, hold on. Gio actually says it was sitting there like a clue.
Yeah, I wasn't just making that up, guys.
Yeah, but I don't... Okay, so what is a clue then here?
Wait, how does something sit like a clue? How does that work?
Conspicuous. Maybe like the dead guy is hugging
it. On the body.
That'd be weird.
The Smith's killer.
It's slightly more saturated than the rest of the room, and if you have your mouse cursor over, it has an outline.
Like, yeah, it's glowing slightly while the rest of the room is dimly lit.
Well, the Smiths do have that song where they say, "Hang the DJ." What if this is a DJ?
Hernandez. That was... The Smiths. Hugo Weaving's in town. Oh my god.
All right, the Smiths made 4 albums. I'm going to list them out for us. You tell me which one makes the best murder clue.
Okay.
The Smiths.
No.
Meat is Murder.
2 on the nose.
Oh.
The Queen is Dead.
What the fuck?
And Strange Ways, Here We Come.
probably the fourth one.
Yeah, that's probably the best. I think
that sounds about right. It's cryptic and sounds like it could vaguely be murder-related enough to annoy the investigator.
I also believe that's the one that has the song Girlfriend in a Coma, so...
Mm. Yeah, so this has happened. Hernandez.
This album features a song titled Girlfriend in a Coma, and we found the victim frozen in a block of ice. Sort of like a state of suspended animation. I thought I had somewhere to go with this. I'm sorry.
I'm just picturing you just smash cut to the band just being all arrested.
Hernandez, stop me if you think you've heard this one before. Get it? That's the Smiths song.
No, they're getting gunned down by SWAT.
And Hernandez is like repeatedly insisting that he doesn't know who the Smiths are.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't really know their music that well. And the captain just keeps making jokes. He's like, listen to this. I started something I couldn't finish. This case.
Yeah, so we solved the murder, guys. Thanks. Thanks, Gio.
Yeah, thanks for helping us solve this cold case of the Smiths killer.
Yeah, it's very cold.
Since yeah, at least...
frozen in a block of ice.
Yeah, as cold as it can get. Anyway, if you have an email like that, or perhaps different from that, then send it to us.
We would appreciate that. tvtunerspodcast@gmail.com.
But the email is not the only way of which you can converse with us. Mm-hmm. If you like scrolling on Twitter, why not scroll on over to our page, @TVTuners. You'll find tons of great TV content there.
How do you scroll to our page?
Carefully.
You look through Twitter and you see, hey, it's like a TV Tuners, and then you scroll on there.
Like, eventually, if you scroll far enough, you get to our page.
That's how it works in the Twitter space.
Yeah, just look for trending and scroll down to racism, and you'll probably find us there.
Yeah, it's usually the circles we hang out in. Twitter is a great place, and we use the account also to scour the Twitter space for great TV tweets. Always TV related, these are. And Stare, you found a great one this week, yeah?
Well, someone did.
Oh, not me. Okay.
The intern.
So this tweet comes from
HTTP. Still have those?
I don't
know. One.
I don't know. This just came to me in like a letter in my mailbox.
Oh, mysterious.
So this tweet comes from HTTP Lovecraft, who writes, "My grandkids in 2067 say, hey, watch this meme. Okay, one puts his robot finger up to my brain implant. Zap. I spend 10,000 years falling through a tunnel of knives, screaming, literal hell. Zap, stamp to reality. It's been 10 seconds. The kids are laughing hysterically."
That sounds real.
This does sound like what a futuristic version of Lovecraft would write.
I think that's what memes will be like.
I would be interested what the future version of the N-word is, because I'm sure HTTP Lovecraft would love it.
And name is Cadet.
Yes.
Well, maybe it's cyborg related.
Oh, yeah.
For people who had to get the cyber implant to survive the Ultra Plague.
You mean COVID-3.
I think it would be much more
and knuckles
horrific than COVID.
Oh, yeah. Once you add knuckles to the equation, that's when shit gets real.
Yeah, the genome can go new routes by breaking walls and climbing up surfaces.
I like the idea that they announced that COVID-3 is a thing, and everyone's like, ugh, big deal.
And it would have a mutation radar where it could find the three mutations much quicker.
Yeah.
And then they announce that it's COVID-3 and knuckles, and everyone is just completely aghast. They don't know what to do.
So would Sega be announcing this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, by that point, society will have descended to the point that Sega is basically the only political power left.
It's the long game they've been playing this whole time.
All other institutions are discredited.
Yeah. It's true. Finally, the long reign of Sega will begin.
Well, hopefully there'll be good arcade cabinets coming out at that time.
Oh.
No?
Only bad ones.
Oh.
That's all we got left.
It'll just be Afterburner. That's all they can afford to make.
That's how it works?
Yeah.
So who would be the ruler of this, like, Sega Utopia? Is that Sagata Sanshiro?
It'd be a guy in a Sonic costume.
Oh, okay.
Would he be friendly or would he be grouchy?
He would look like he would be a 50-year-old man. And also the Sonic costume does not have a face. So you just see the guy.
But you did not answer my question.
He'd be like a 58-year-old dude.
Okay.
He's sort of like smiling, but he's also impassive.
So he would be like friendly, but like it's a fake friendliness?
It would be very distant, I would say. Like you would not feel like you could approach him.
Yeah, that tracks.
Oh, that's terrifying.
You imagine a guy in a Sonic costume running for president?
And winning? Every all 50 states.
Especially if he ran like right around the time that like Sonic 3 came out. Like the movie.
Not the game?
Well, no, I'm thinking like future.
Like that's how O.J. Simpson turns it around. He dresses up like Sonic.
The past already happened and nothing else can happen in the past. And trying to imagine an alternate past is just a fool's game.
I do like this idea of O.J. Simpson trying to appeal to people by wearing a Sonic suit, but it is a little too small. So you sort of do see his head peeking out from...
No, I still think it's like one of the faceless ones that goes around his head. So his face is sticking out.
Oh. And he doesn't even really try to act like he's Sonic the Hedgehog. He is talking like he's O.J. Simpson. But he's just like talking about chili dogs.
Yeah.
How he's innocent and stuff.
Listen, I don't know who killed Nicole Brown, but it wasn't me, Sonic. Anyway, I'm enjoying this chili dog, just like my friend OJ's wife would.
Yeah. What, he's friends with OJ's wife?
No, he's friends with OJ, and OJ's wife would love a chili dog.
Okay. Alright, okay. Yeah, you're right.
It's a shame someone murdered her. And I know OJ's out there somewhere, searching for that murderer. In the meantime, I'm just going to enjoy this chili dog. And, like, cameras are just going off, and people are just standing in bewilderment as he's just eating a chili dog in front of, like, the 24-hour news cameras.
Yeah, he would win, hands down.
Yeah.
It would be, like, the original... That would be, like... He would be, like, Trump a decade early.
He would eat the hot dog horizontally.
Oh, my God. Okay, that would actually tank him at the polls.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And he's eating a hot dog.
He's eating a chili dog, Swanton.
No, he's already... If he's eating it horizontally, the chili is, like, falling out of the hot dog.
Oh, no. That's a real philosophical question. When does a chili dog become a hot dog?
When there's no more chili.
So if I ordered a chili dog and licked all the chili off, I'd have a hot dog.
It's a hot dog.
It would no longer be a chili dog.
Congratulations, you made hot dog. You had some chili, and now you're going to have a hot dog.
That's the recipe for hot dog, by the way, if you look in a cookbook. What's a hot dog? Can you explain that to me?
Why are we talking about this?
Here, hold on one second. You guys just fill some time real quick.
I think we've done enough of that.
A hot dog.
No! No more, please.
Swanton wants to know what a hot dog is.
A hot dog is a food consisting of a grilled or steamed sausage served in the slit of a partially sliced bun.
Oh, yeah, get up in that slit.
I don't know if I like that they have to refer to it as the slit of a sliced bun.
Just slide it in there.
Wait, they describe it as just a sausage? That's what a hot dog is? It's a sausage?
Of a grilled or steamed sausage served in the slit of a partially sliced bun.
This is not correct.
The sausage used is a wiener or a frankfurter.
Okay, now we're on the right track here.
Some consider it to be a sandwich.
Oh, now we're getting really upsetting here.
Oh, no. Why do you... Oh, fucking Wikipedia editors.
Well, here, you want to go real overboard? Here's what Google has to say. People also ask, is hot dog a taco?
I guess, sort of. No. A hot dog bun is sort of like a taco shell. Like shape.
Tacos don't, like, hang out open. I guess they sort of do, but, like, you don't...
Yeah.
Not like a hot dog sits out in the open.
A taco is defined by using a tortilla, and that's what a taco is.
Okay? Yeah, okay, you don't put taco meat into the slit of a tortilla.
Well, I think you would.
A tortilla doesn't have a... Well, I get... No, when it doesn't have a slit. When you think
about it, a tortilla is more slit-like than a hot dog bun.
Okay, now we're getting into questions that Google's just trying to fuck with me. Is a hot dog a burrito?
Okay.
Most tortillas are circular, like pieces of
dough. Yeah, but when you have a taco, you fold it, so it's sort of like a slit, and by slit I mean pussy.
Yeah.
We were all thinking it.
No, you were thinking it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that nonstop.
Stairs trying to eat as many hot dogs as he does.
I love pussy, so I'm just eating hot dog all the time.
Constantly eating hot dogs. That's why, well, this is Stairmaster's on to something, because world famous hot dog eating champion Joey Chestnut, excellent at cunnilingus.
Is this true? Did you?
Yeah, everyone has heard about this, right?
No.
Swanson confirmed this for himself.
Yeah.
So it's like Junior... Oh. Congratulations.
I did some investigative journalism, you could say. Yeah, into this phenomenon. Really
state of the art.
They should make the Japanese hot dog guy compete against him. And
hot dog eating?
No. Another kind of eating.
I heard you like hot dogs. Try this hot dussy.
Oh, no. Okay. Let's move on.
All right. Anyway, yeah, that's a tune in on that tweet.
Oh, that's what we're doing?
I think that's what that all spiraled into from.
What was the tweet?
Okay, let me read it again. My grandkids in 2067 say, hey, watch this meme. Okay. One puts his robot finger up to my brain implant. Zap. I spent 10,000 years falling through a tunnel of knives, screaming, literal hell. Zap. Snap back to reality. It's been 10 seconds. The kids are laughing hysterically.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So...
When you think about a tunnel of knives, it's sort of like what it's like when you're a hot dog being eaten by a human being.
Huh.
The question I have is, how do we get from there to hot dogs? And I know the recording's going to tell us in the future, but that's upsetting that I have no clue how that happened.
Listen, you know, sometimes greatness just falls into your lap. You know what I'm saying?
That's what we're calling it.
Anyway, I'm still tuning in on this tweet, but I did think about it, hearing you describe it again, as a gag that would happen in Rick and Morty.
True.
Yes. Rick and Morty does sort of do that joke with the life simulator thing.
Yeah, like, I could see a gag that's just, like, Morty spends 10,000 years falling through a tunnel of knives, and then he comes back in 10 seconds, and Rick is like, what, that was great, wasn't it?
A bunch of black teens are laughing.
Yeah.
Like, Rick, I'm traumatized. I'm never going to be the same.
I'll get over it, Morty. You say you're traumatized over everything. It loses all meaning.
And then there's a guy watching this. He's like, oh, yeah, Rick is a role model.
I want to be like him. He eats so many hot dogs.
He does. Wait, does True. He?
I don't think.
Okay, let's go.
His canonical favorite food, hot dog.
I think we talked too long for what did you watch this week, so let's just move on to whatever.
Yeah, let's move on to a topic near and dear to our hearts. What'd you guys watch this week? Anything fun, interesting?
No.
I watched Ninja Operation 7 Royal Warriors. Directed by Robert Godfrey, or Godfrey Hall or something, I don't remember.
Is it a ninja movie?
Yes, it's allegedly a ninja movie.
Well, it's in the title.
It's also titled Hands of Death in some markets.
Oh, okay. What's going on here?
When the Purple Ninja Empire gets their hand on a lost treasure map, the race is on to find the legendary Burmese treasure. Two warriors join forces to claim the riches, but treachery and deceit stand in their way.
I hate those guys.
Yeah, so the Purple Ninjas are these white guys.
Oh.
We're fighting these other white guys in the jungle. And their little storyline is completely separated from this Taiwanese, South Korean, Thailand co-production film that is also spliced in. And like intersects with the ninja plotline like twice in the first 30 minutes and then never again.
So this is two movies that were sort of put together?
It's one movie and like 10 minutes of another movie.
And that's good. Yeah.
It was an experience.
Was this like something on Amazon?
This was on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
And it's got you can't embed it because he just puts in Pink Floyd music at some at random points.
Oh, all right. Yeah, it does sound like a kind of movie that you could be listening to, and then in the middle, time would start playing. You would think about how far you've lost it.
Yeah, so Taiwanese South Korean film seems pretty nice, if a bit low budget, decent fights and stunts. The ninja stuff is just some guys ducking behind bushes and shooting at each other with M16s until it's the last two guys, and then he's like, "Let's fight." And they throw their guns to the ground, and then they do Naruto chakras and transform into armored ninjas and start flipping all over the place.
So, M16's classic, that's a classic ninja weapon?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, and right. In the last 5 minutes of the film, they start using chakras and jutsus.
Because they ran out of guns, or?
Yeah.
Just because they felt like it?
Yeah, because they felt like it.
Alright, sounds normal.
And also let's just call it the source film. For some reason, the director only had access to a wide-angle lens. So, like, half the shots are these wide-shot outdoor shots that are in fisheye lens. And whenever the camera moves, it's really disorienting.
Oh, that sounds dreadful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds bad.
Oh, the director's name is Godfrey Ho. You want me to read some of his other film's titles?
Sure.
Ninja Terminator, Laboratory of the Devil, Lethal Partner, Scorpion Thunderbolt, Ninja the Protector, Princess Madam, Ninja Champion, Diamond Ninja Force, Ninja Thunderbolt, The Ninja Squad, Black Ninja, also known as Ninja Silent Assassin.
I was hoping it was like a blaxploitation movie about a ninja.
This guy seems a bit dark-skinned on the poster. You want to squint at it and debate whether it's racist?
I mean, I just want to imagine the idea of, like, a blaxploitation movie, but also the guy is a ninja.
I think that's just The Last Dragon. I mean, that's basically what you would want. Ninja Dragon. I guess.
He makes a lot of ninja movies.
It's like he likes ninjas.
Hitman the Cobra. The Ultimate Ninja.
Oh,
now we're talking.
That's a one right there. The Ultimate
Ninja. Is that his last movie?
Die Bolstrucker. Die Der Ninja. Also known as... Also titled Secret Ninja Roaring Tiger.
Oh. Okay.
The Deadly Silver Ninja. Magnum Thunderbolt.
Okay.
Ninja Kill.
All right, yeah.
Ninja Empire. Ninja Destroyer. Counter Destroy. Hold on. Robo Vampire. 4.
What's going on here?
Robo Vampire 3, Counter Destroy. Rage of a Ninja. Leopard Fist Ninja. Tough Ninja Shadow Warrior.
How many of these movies are like recycled footage?
All of them. All the ninja ones for sure. Black Ninja.
He has two movies called Black Ninja.
Black Ninja, Black Panther. Also titled Ninja Death Squad. Also titled Ninja Warriors from Beyond.
This is starting to give me rapper Viper vibes here.
This is sort of like the filmography if Viper was a director.
The horn ass of Ninja.
Ninja, Force of Assassins.
Terrible. All right. How long is this going to keep going?
I'm almost done. I think I'm almost done through the ninja ones.
We've said the word ninja so much that I think the word has lost meaning in the people listening.
Hold on. Ninja Knight, Brothers of Blood, also titled Exterminators Kill for Love, also titled Ninja Knight 2 Blood Brothers, also titled Ninja Killer.
He was really excited about this one.
He gave it 5 titles. He was so excited.
You know it must be good if it has that many titles.
Yeah, that's what they say. If you got to name your movie 5 different ways, it's a good movie.
Only one review on it on Letterboxd.
Okay.
A good one?
It looks like 2 stars. No stars, but a like. Ooh. And only 5 people on Letterboxd have rated it.
That's crazy. I actually did watch something this week, shockingly.
Yeah,
I watched a program called Smiling Friends.
Huh? And it's like all the friends are there, like Joey and Chandler and Monica.
No, it's an animated program about a nonprofit business called the Smiling Friends, which has these two guys. They help people who are having a bad time.
Okay.
Typically, no.
Oh.
So they fail at their job.
Do they make things worse than when they started?
Usually things turn out okay, but not because they did a good job.
Okay.
Like, it'll just coincidentally work out.
And this is an animated program?
Yeah. Like, they'll accidentally kill the guy who they were talking to, but turns out he was bad, so it was good.
Yeah, tracks. That's a good lesson to teach people watching.
Yeah, well, it's for adults, so I hope they don't need to learn their lessons from cartoons.
No, I learn every lesson from cartoons.
I demand that my cartoons teach me lessons.
Yeah.
I think everything should be like Mobile Suit Gundam.
Okay, I mean, that's fair.
I think Charge Counterattack should have had a scene where Charge turns to the audience and said, "Do not do any of this." Right before.
Do not do what I do.
Right before Axis's engines turn on.
He should say, "I'm making mistakes in this movie."
I think anytime a character does something that I can't morally relate to, they should turn to the audience and say, "This is wrong." Just so we know.
Well, now I think about it, he does say, "Amuro, I'm doing something wicked."
Yeah, but he says it with like a smile on his face.
Yeah. He says it a bit hornily.
Yeah.
Doing something wicked, Amuro.
But I guess a bit cheeky.
Are you going to stop me? You going to stop me with your big Gundam?
What are you going to do? Kiss me?
Huh? You going to get out of that Gundam and kiss me on the lips?
And then,
he doesn't.
And he just hears sounds of Amuro beating the shit out of him.
Yeah. True.
Oh, wait. Was that a tune-in, Keo?
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it. It's got 10-minute episode, so it's pretty easy.
You gotta love that.
No wonder Keo watched it.
Yeah.
Easy.
I could watch it. I could finish the whole episode during my break.
Damn. Yeah. The short, make TV shorter. Quibi had the right idea.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, a Quibi.
Bring back Quibi. Hashtag yeah, bring back Quibi.
10-minute chunks. That's what Keo's doing. He's living that Quibi lifestyle.
Yeah, I watched it on my phone, too. I was like, man, I could go for quick bites while I'm on the go.
Somewhere, creator of Quibi, Jeffrey Katzenberg, is seething with rage at the idea that Keo is in, has just now gotten on board the train.
Yeah, U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Oh, yeah.
He had a great idea, Quibi! It was a great idea.
Chop up all the TV programs into 10-minute chunks, even Columbo.
We're going to have 10-minute meetings with world leaders. Today I had a 10-minute meeting with Vladimir Putin. Went well. On the phone.
We have a watch when it counts down from 10 minutes. The automated turrets will shoot you. One in every American house.
Yeah, I think Quibi was a good idea. I think it's just, you know, it wasn't their fault it failed.
It was our fault. It's true.
Yeah, it was our fault. We didn't support it enough. We should have watched more Quibi shows.
We should have watched Murder House, whatever.
Oh, yeah, Murder House Flip?
Murder House Flip, yeah.
Yeah.
Good Quibi!
Good stuff. Anyway, I didn't really watch anything this week, so we can move on.
Swanson's been busy and sleepy.
I've been mostly the latter.
Angry.
I'm pissed. Man.
Swanson's hard-boiled.
Yeah, I'm a hard-boiled podcaster. I sit around and I muse about how many celebrities are coming and taking this profession.
Why not?
And how there's nothing you can do about it. And then I pour myself a drink.
Whiskey.
On the rocks.
Straight. No, just clean.
A neat whiskey.
Clean. Yeah, I'm an avid drinker, as you can tell.
Give me a clean whiskey. As the bartender stares at you blankly.
Put a drop of bar of soap in it. I've been a bad boy.
Make it bubble.
I want that drink sudsy.
A nice sudsy whiskey.
Yeah.
Goes down hard.
Yeah.
That's even if you don't accidentally swallow the soap.
Accidentally?
Well, yeah, I don't know if you want to swallow the whole bar of soap.
Yeah. My parents tried to make me do that once. Big mistake.
Swallow it?
Yeah.
They're trying to choke you? Like they're going to kill you?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Brutal.
That's crazy.
I feel like every week on this show, Stairmaster reveals a shocking facet about his life.
That's how he gets the viewers to come back.
Anyway, with all that out of the way, I think there's but one more thing for us to do, and that's to discuss Gilmore Girls, I guess.
Well, I have one more thing to add to this discussion. I'm just picturing Stairmaster just kind of casually drops that Stairmaster's dad like played Russian roulette with them or something.
DD Mao.
Yeah, I'm sure that's great. That's a great experience. That's what they call a father-son bonding moment. So, yeah, let's go ahead and talk about Gilmore Girls, I guess.
Okay. What's that?
It's a show about two girls who have the same name. That's right.
You know, it's like the scenes in Bosch where he's with his daughter, except the whole show is that. And also, or like Gilmore does not solve a murder each season.
So you're saying it's a downgrade from Bosch?
Yeah, I would say so. There's no Lance Reddick either.
In fact, there's no black people in this at all, really.
Mikhail's kind of black. He's North African, at least.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what the ethnicity of Mikhail is. That's why I wasn't going to go all in on it.
Same. Also, he was in this episode, which was good.
It's true. He's been off for a while. I haven't seen our boy, but a lack of Mikkel is rectified in this very episode, which makes it better than the previous episodes we've watched.
Is his name pronounced Michelle? Because that's how Lorelai was pronouncing it.
I can't tell because I feel like I could have sworn they called them Mikkel in certain ones, but I guess it's Michelle, maybe. Mikkel.
No, it's not Michelle. Don't be stupid.
She was just like being a horrible like monster.
This week's episode is called Double Date, and guys, I'm seeing four dates in this episode.
That's crazy. How could they do this?
You believe that?
Math and Swanson's correct.
Believe that shit?
Wait. Let me get the scientist on the phone. What? You guys talk amongst yourselves and hold on.
How's it going?
Don't wait for me.
Oh, it's going great. You
want to talk about Royal Warriors some more?
I think we've gone as far as we can on that situation.
There's a lady who's dressed like Tarzan.
All right, so two plus two is what?
Guys. Four.
I'm talking to scientists there. Just keep out of this.
Dressed like a Tarzan. What do you mean exactly? Like a loincloth?
Like she's swinging. Yeah, she's swinging around. She's got like a tiger skin
on. It's four.
Why is that happening?
Because she lives in the jungle with her mom. She lives in a cave with her mom, and her mom has a.
Why are you getting all upset with me? Talking about apples. Okay, so you have two apples, and then you get two.
Which
more
is where the treasure is, by the way.
And
that the ninjas never visit.
Let me think about that.
So the ninjas don't want treasure.
No, they want the treasure, but they never go to the cave where the treasure is, or interact with the other people fighting over the treasure.
Yeah, but by the time I get the other two apples, I'll probably eat one of the other ones, so I think it's three. Why are you getting mad at me?
And also, for some reason, there's this plot line about the bad guy treasure hunter is, like, pressing a bunch of women into sexual slavery.
Alright, the scientist is angry with me.
What?
He's mad at me. He's angry.
Why is he angry?
He was trying to tell me that 2 plus 2 is 4.
Yeah,
but
it is.
Well, his analogy didn't make any sense. He was talking about like having apples and how like if you've got two apples and got two more apples, then you have four apples. But I don't think
so.
He doubled your apples, Kyo.
Okay, I got two apples right now.
Okay.
I'm going to add another apple.
Okay. Oh, that's three.
Okay, aren't I'm going to add another apple. How many is this?
That's four apples, but okay. Why didn't you eat one?
I'm not going to eat them.
Well, that's wasteful.
No. Okay, so I'm going to grab the apples that I added. Okay, how many am I holding?
You're holding two apples.
And we had two originally.
Okay.
So I added these two apples to those two apples, and you counted four apples.
Is that what?
Whoa! It's two pairs of apples.
Okay, but why? But when you put the first apple down, that was three apples.
Yes.
That's three.
Yes, but then I added another one.
What you're saying right now is 3 plus 1 is equal to 4.
Well, what happened was Stair put four apples together, and now we've got a bushel.
Well, that's the beauty of math, Keo. Those are both true.
That's crazy. Thank you. So, I guess there was four dates in this episode.
Yeah.
That's right.
And they all went badly. Well, one went well.
I guess, I'm assuming one went well. Well, two went well.
No, I guess.
I mean, I don't think anything bad happened with... I think Dean and Rory had, like, a perfectly fine date, I'm sure, except for the end.
That one didn't matter.
Name? And Kitchen Lady.
They somehow ended up having a good date, apparently. Which is, a pleasant surprise. I actually, I'll get my biggest nitpick of the episode out of the way, which is that I actually would have preferred if this episode was more about that date than, like, the other two dates that we focus on.
Expand on. Wait, which date do you want it to be about?
I mean, I'd rather focus a bit more on the cooking lady and what's-his-face.
True.
I don't like either of them.
I thought they were interesting enough for this episode.
I think the guy that Lorelai was dating should have been thrown through a window. at the end.
Well, yeah, that's like the point.
Or maybe like ran over with a steamroller.
But before we get into any of that, we get a kind of, I thought this was a fun little opening sequence, which is that only one word is said throughout the entirety of this opening sequence, but we get a whole, like, morning routine that they go through, I guess, every morning. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, that was nice. I've done that. I've just said one word all day.
This is a very sitcom-y thing in this episode, which is that a new element is seemingly just dropped in our laps, which is that Lorelai is going to business school, which is I don't think has ever been talked about in previous episodes. She's already got a business. Yeah, I mean, she has a business already, or does she not own that inn? Because the way she talks about it makes it sound like she owns it.
I thought she just managed it, but I thought she was just a manager at the inn.
I think that's what they're going for, but this business school thing is definitely new, right? Like she's never talked about this before.
I think it's like The Sopranos. Or technically, it's a DeMille crime family, but that guy's in jail. So really, it's Tony's show.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, isn't that what managing is? Is where you don't make the money, but you do all the work?
Yeah, so managing really, Tony Soprano is a middle management guy.
I can't wait to see who's the Richie Aprile of this of the Gilmore Girls.
Probably that one shitty kid. What's his name? It's been so long.
Oh, Tristan?
Tristan, yeah, he's Richie Aprile.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him get murdered. She's going to business school, I guess. There's a couple remarks in this episode about how boring learning about businesses are. Michelle makes a couple of statements about
Stringer Bell's in the corner, just jotting down everything.
Taco Bell is good for consumers.
Hey, yo, we got that Taco Bell!
do you think Lorelai and Stringer Bell are in the same class?
Yes, because that sounds fun.
Could you imagine the scenarios? Like, I feel like they would not talk to one another, but like, imagine if they sat next to one another.
Yeah, I don't think Lorelai would talk to anyone darker skinned than Miguel.
Very true. I mean, but it is a guy who looks like Idris Elba.
Well, okay, so the episode would be about her conflicting desires. She would be talking to Kitchen Lady.
Imagine Stringer Bell says hello to her, and her only response is to widen her eyes and look at him.
Yeah. Like, it's not even anything where he is like... He's not asking for anything, like notes or anything. He is just simply saying, hello, miss. And she just stares in disbelief at him.
Like, shocked that he can talk almost.
Yeah.
That was America in 2000.
Different America.
Not really.
Not that much has changed. Business school is presumably the same. I don't know.
Yes.
But, so what we get here is the beginning of the plot, which is that, Rory's friend Lane wants her to, help her get a date with Dean's friend, Todd, who's a cool dude, apparently. Seems like a cool guy from what we're hearing so far before we see him.
She has a very profound infatuation with this individual.
Yeah.
For reasons unknown.
They do bring up her previous love interest, who she ran her hair through and had to run away. Run her hands through his hair. Yes, sorry. And then she attests it's a completely different situation. And I guess it does end up being a different situation. But yeah.
A much worse situation.
Yeah, much, much worse. There's a bit here where Lorelai is trying to convince Sookie, that's the chef lady, that she should ask out this guy, the vegetable man, whose name escapes me. But yeah, they have like an awkward encounter because at the end of our last episode, she asked him out, and I guess there's been no follow-up since then. So they just sort of have been awkwardly giving each other, like, giving, arriving with vegetables and being like, "That's those are good vegetables." And nothing. Just
put them right there. They look good right there.
In terms of vegetables, these are classic vegetables. These look great.
Yeah, she just keeps bringing eggplants and hoping he gets a message.
Yeah, and he keeps refusing.
I would like a larger eggplant than this.
These eggplants aren't sufficient. I need larger eggplants. And he's just like, "Oh, I don't know. They don't come much larger than that."
You'll find them.
The situation is not really that tense as we're making it, but I would like the idea of her just being like, "You'll find a bigger eggplant." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, sure, we'll find a bigger eggplant." So, you can tell this was a show made in 2000, by the way, because there's a lot of cell phone discussion as if it's like a new fad.
Something is coming. A portable telephone.
Yeah, like, Suki doesn't really know what a cell phone is for sure.
She says something about how it's for ladies who are, like, on the run.
It's kind of a horror movie situation.
Yeah, like, on the run from, like, a killer.
Then their car breaks down.
Yeah. So basically, we get our big setup for the shenanigans here, which is that Dean and Rory are going to go on a double date with Lane and this Todd fellow. Meanwhile, Sookie, in her awkwardness, has agreed to go on a double date, has agreed to bring Lorelai along for a double date with Vegetable Man and his cousin, some relative from out of town. Whose name is Rune. And it's never explained why his name is Rune.
Well, I guess
the closest explanation is that he says, sort of disgustedly, that that's what his father named him that. that was his father's name? Is that what he said?
It was a very popular name on Side 7. Rune.
Yeah, that's where this guy's from, no doubt. But, yeah, so we get the real crux of this episode in terms of the funniest stuff is this horrible date with this Rune fellow. Because from the jump, he sees Lorelai, who Kyo has already said, 5'8", and is just like, "This woman's a giant! How you expect me to talk to her?
My neck hurts!"
He's saying this, like, loud enough for her to hear from the other room, or from, in her house, because they're outside, and...
"Giant woman?
You want me to talk to this gigantic woman?"
Yeah, I think the subtext is he's secretly gay and just wants to hang out with his bro.
Huh. And that wasn't the subtext I picked up, but, I guess I don't know if there's any real subtext in this other than maybe he's like overcompensating for being short.
Yeah, I think the subtext was that he has a short person complex there.
Yeah. Oh. But I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't think he's gay for his distant relative.
I didn't want to go bowling with him.
Well, yeah, at a certain point he does get up and say, "Fuck it, dude, let's go bowling." And unfortunately, he goes bowling by himself, I guess. But yeah, most of this is him just sort of... during the entire dinner scene, he is like almost afraid to speak to her. Like, she asks him questions, and it's like he's being like hounded by the police.
He's like the worst possible date you could ask for.
Yeah, it's pretty humorous. Meanwhile... Sookie and Vegetable Man are like not conversing with one another, but are conversing like around each other, because it's clear that they have similar interests, but like there's just no conversation going on between the two of them.
Yeah, they're both ready to tear this restaurant they're at apart.
Yeah, like. And Lorelai's ready to tear this Rune fellow apart.
Me too.
At one point, she says that they're gonna go to the powder room and to powder their noses, and he says you're gonna need a lot of powder for that, which is especially egregious because it's not even like she has a huge nose or anything.
It's like pointless. Like, he also mentions she has huge ears. Like, could you even see her ears? They're like covered by her hair.
No, I think like, he just thinks this average, this like slightly above average in terms of height woman is like just so gigantic. Meanwhile, over on the other side of the dating pool, I don't know if you guys caught this, but the movie that they went to watch, it says it on the sign at the beginning, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman.
It's like poetry, it rhymes.
And it's just, wow. This is just some free jazz. This is comedy. That's what comedy's like, guys. Anyway,
that's comedy.
We finally get introduced to Todd, who I hope is a, you know, I want this guy to be a recurring character. I want him to be like just hanging around doing Todd's shenanigans.
Does he do anything?
I don't think he... No, I don't think he... I think this guy, like, his day-to-day life consists of just sitting around.
He's like the brother in a...
The only confirmed thing we've heard that he does is work on bicycles or something.
He's like the brother in Kevin Can Go Fuck Himself.
Just hanging around?
Yeah, and he's kind of weird. Doesn't seem to have a brain.
Yeah, it does seem like he doesn't have a brain. That's very true. Which is a problem because so this is a scenario where Lane starts talking to this guy and realizes that there's like literally nothing in common between the two of them.
She looks in his eyes and realizes there's nothing behind them.
Yeah.
Saddest moments in fiction right here.
Like she asks him about music and he's like, I listen to whatever. She asks him about books and he's like, he stares at her blankly, I think, as if books have never even occurred to him as a concept. and then
he's
once
just a person with no interests, apparently.
Well, he has one particular interest, which is that his favorite film is the movie Beethoven about a dog. Get this, Keo. I don't know if you've heard of this movie, but it's a movie about a dog that's big.
Wait, it's so like the dog can't talk?
I don't think the dog talks in Beethoven. I mean, it's been a while since I watched it, but I think it's just like a kind of a slightly above average sized dog.
Oh, so it's like Lorelai being tall.
Yes, that's right. If Rune was in Beethoven, he would be like, this dog's gigantic!
He'd try to shoot the dog.
Yes. Yeah, it's a real Turner and Hooch situation. Yeah. There's also a part... I remember this just from my notes, that where he says that he wants to major in gym, which actually made me laugh out loud because it's just a very funny. I mean, listen, you know, he's got the right idea in terms of not wanting to take that many classes, you know.
At that point, how much of this was Lane being in sunk cost fallacy mode?
I think the rest of the date at that point. The moment he says I'm majoring in gym, I think like a switch turns on when she's like, I have to be here because like my friend set this up for me after I asked. So I have to be here, but I... Because before her mom shows up, she's already ready to leave.
Yeah, I'm glad I never have to worry about going on a double date with either of you.
Yeah, until right now.
What? Huh?
That's right.
But who's my date? We're on a
date right now. Your date is Pumpkin.
Fuck you, you son of a bitch. I'll fucking kill you. Hold me back, Kia. Hold me back.
Ah! Yeah.
Okay, I got you, Stair. Look, you're not going to hurt anybody.
Listen, Pumpkin's got a lot of thoughts, all right?
No, he doesn't. It's a pumpkin.
Kia was the one who set this up.
Kill, I'll kill you.
Ah. Swanson, hold him back.
easy, buddy, easy. Why don't you give it a try, you know, before... Can't be worse than hanging out with Rune.
I'm pretty sure I cannot breathe in the air near this pumpkin without getting some sort of disease.
I put Pumpkin in an airtight box. It's like there's not going to be any... You can't see Pumpkin, he's just in the box.
You'll know he's there, but you can't see him.
Why do I hear thudding coming from the box?
Good old guy. Listen, it'll go great. So back over in adult double date land, Lorelai gets the idea to take everybody to Luke's. She sort of just hangs out over there. Rune leaves after getting rejected by his distant relative. I don't know what their actual relationship is. I can't remember what they said, but
pretty sure that they're cousins.
Okay, yeah, his cousin ditches him for the date that he's on. And Lorelai and Luke have a little good time here before it's rudely interrupted by Lane's mom. They're playing cards. They're hitting on one another. All that jazz. Lane's mom comes in after seeing Lorelai by herself because earlier the plan was that, you know, Lane can't really date, so she is they're telling a little lie of omission, I guess. By saying that they're going to the movies, but not mentioning that they're going with guys. So Lane's mom is very agitated by this. They go to Lorelai follows her to the movie theater. Her mom is mad. And then the last couple minutes of the episode essentially are about this, this rift, I guess, between the two mothers. Which is like a weird direction because it seems like
there's zero chemistry between them.
Well, I don't even care about that. Like, it was, like, a fine enough scene in terms of, like, doing what it wanted to do, I guess. But, like, it just seems like it was kind of tacked on to this specific thing. Because, like, yeah, I don't know.
It's supposed to be date night.
Yeah, it's supposed to be date night. I want to know more. Like, all we get after Sookie and Vegetable Man are hanging out in the diner, all we get about them is Lorelai saying that they're going on another date. I want to see how that relationship's go. I'm sure we will, but I want to see it in this episode. I need a conclusion to that actual plot line.
Every time you say Vegetable Man, I keep picturing a carrot man.
Well, he does like carrots.
I want him to give her a gift that it's like a turnip in a little present box.
Kyo, I'll be shocked if something like that doesn't happen. Like, maybe not a turnip, okay, but there'll be a vegetable in a box that he will give as a gift, I bet, at some point.
Okay, we'll see. That hasn't already happened and we forgot.
I don't think. I mean, he's given her vegetables that are, like, weird ones, like when he gave her, like, a butt that was, like, a turnip or something, or, like, a radish.
Yeah.
Cucumber.
Maybe.
I don't know. Squash? I have no idea. Swanson?
I don't remember.
Let's download this guy.
Download him? what do you mean?
I want him on the TV tuner's computer.
I do not.
Yeah, I'd rather not. There's only two guys in this entire show. Well, maybe three. Maybe three guys in this entire show that I would download. This is in no particular order, but I think you can pick out at least two of them.
Mikkel.
Luke.
And Dean.
I wouldn't download Dean.
Yeah, you're canceled for downloading Dean Swanson. That's a problem.
He's an adult now.
Yeah, but you're downloading him from when he was on the show.
I'm also just download. What are we downloading him for?
That's a good question.
He would be like a Bonzi buddy.
Yeah, that's fine. Fine, just Luke and Mikkel.
Yeah, so that's Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, like Lorelai and Lane's mom have like a conversation that I was gonna say a heart to heart, but it is definitely not that. I don't even think there's like a single. I don't know. It's just a conversation about parenting, I guess, and it's whatever. The episode ends with Lorelai and Rory getting some food at Luke's. Rory goes off because Lane is finally let out of the house, only past the sign. And Luke shoots his shot. Progress is made in the storyline.
And welcome to the jam.
And it seems like his shot was received well.
He's finally done it.
So there you go. Things are progressing in terms of whatever that's going to be.
I'm sure it's going to be the thing for the rest of the series.
That's going to be the thing.
Yeah, I'm sure by like halfway through season one is when they start dating for sure. That's definitely how this will go. It's not going to be like a thing that they're going to drag out for a couple seasons.
We'll see. They might surprise us. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Anyway, that was it for that was pretty much it for this episode. I enjoyed it well enough.
Yeah, it was a lot better than the last week's episode.
Yeah, listen, it had two things. Miguel was really funny, and the entire date with Rune was very, very
interesting.
Funny. Also, Todd was a funny guy. I totally forgot the bit where when Lorelai comes to pick up Rory, you hear him in the background say, "Rory's mom's a babe," loudly enough for everyone to hear.
Yeah.
Like, did fun. They not know that already? I feel like that'd be like talk of the town for years. Like, everyone would just know.
I think Todd does not listen to anybody talking to him around town.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like, I'm pretty sure Todd will have forgotten all of the events of this episode in like a week. He's got like the memory of a golden retriever.
He would talk to Lane and be like, who are you?
Do I know you?
Listen, Jack, have we met before?
Yeah, Todd became Joe Biden.
My favorite movie's Beethoven. Love that little dog. Oh, no. I love that big dog rolling around.
That big red dog.
What antics is he going to get up to next? He's so big. How's he fit in the house? It's like the American dream.
Oh, that's a really good metaphor.
Yeah, how does he fit in the house?
How does he fit in the house? He's so big.
So yeah, that's it. I'm gonna give this one a light tune in. I think I'll give it a tune in.
Yeah, I'll give it a tune in on this episode in particular.
It doesn't really matter if I give it a tune in or not.
I guess not. I guess not. Episodes. I mean, you can do whatever you want. But yeah, that's it for this week's episode. As always, of course, if you want to give us a bonus episode to discuss any topic that you wish, really, within reason, we'll go over to buymeacoffee.com/TVTuners. A single coffee gives you a single topic for us to discuss. But until then, next week we'll be back with more Gilmores. Till then, keep drinking coffee. Bye. It's over.
I found them.
Hey folks, time for the TV Tuners fact of the week. Did you know that Stairmaster invented the cucumber?
It's true. I was like, what if there's a really long green plant?